Echaresan, Charan, Megalen, Spodra. The Greek says it, knock to your knees with joy.
We're in the middle of the story. Sunday, we stood in Jerusalem where power smiles while sharpening knives, and scripture is quoted without being believed. This coming Sunday, we'll kneel in Bethlehem where joy is dusty and worship costs something. But tonight we're on the road between them. The road where obedience begins before clarity does. The road where the light shines but doesn't explain itself. Welcome to Midweek Bible Study. The fellowship hall still smells like potluck grace, and the folding chairs haven't quite cooled from the bodies that carried stories to the table. We've broken bread, swapped laughter, and now we open the Word. We're not here for a performance. We're here for something quieter, something deeper. A chance to see ourselves in Scripture and maybe catch a glimpse of God walking just ahead. This is The Star Didn't Wait, and I'll see you on the other side.
This is a very pedantic reason why ministers have no business trying to be psychiatrists or counselors. I mean, I'm serious, right? Like, I will come talk to you about the Bible. And I'll tell you what the Bible says. But when it comes to, I mean, leave that stuff to real professionals, man. Plumbing and electricity. Just have to, that's on y'all. Okay. So I am going to go ahead and begin here, and I do want to ride off the... Oh, I almost forgot. Wayne, are we... Thumbs up. I do want to just paragraph here real quick, because if you do come, you come on Wednesday nights, you come on Sundays, you probably are aware that we just had Epiphany, and Epiphany Sunday coming up. Epiphany is the three wise men story, and the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. And we've actually had that kind of Sunday after Christmas, but before Epiphany, last Sunday, and tonight, and then Epiphany Sunday. And so what I've been doing is actually honing in on the Epiphany story, because if you are, I hate whenever someone starts off a statement like this. I guarantee you start out a statement like this, 99% of the time, I'm already going to hate it before you finish what you're going to say. But when people say stuff like, if you are a Christian, .. right? Because it usually what follows, if you are a Christian, is nonsense. But if you are a Christian that believes that the Bible is one long story about God and his people, and Jesus comes about two-thirds of the way through, but Jesus flips the whole thing and actually fulfills all of the promises God made in the first two-thirds, right? If you believe the Bible is that long, continuous story about how we started from a garden to a man, Abraham, to a family and tribes, to a nation, and then to the world, that hinge to how that took place, how Christianity went global, happens in the Epiphany moment. And so I've kind of been trying to take this overall story and look at it from some different perspectives, because this is a really important part to get when you're trying to understand the bigger picture. So let us first locate ourselves in a moment. Now, I'd mentioned Sunday, we stood in Jerusalem, and we stood in power, and we stood in fear dressed as authority. The tribe, the scribes, and the priests, right? We stood with Herod, who knew how to smile while sharpening knives. And we stood with those scribes. They could quote Micah without missing a syllable and still couldn't bring themselves to walk 5 miles down the road and see. This coming Sunday, we're going to kneel back in Bethlehem, and we're going to talk about these outsiders and about joy and about gifts laid down in the dust, about worship that counts more than words. But tonight, we're not in either place. Tonight, we're on the road in between the two. The place where obedience starts before clarity arrives. the place where faith has to walk without knowing for sure how the story is going to eventually end. The place where light shines, yes, but doesn't yet explain itself. And if we're honest, that is where most of us live our lives with God. That's where most of our life with God actually happens. Not in the dramatic moments. Not in the clear revelations that we've had. But in the long middle, where you heard something true on Sunday, but you're still trying to figure out what it means on Tuesday. Where you felt God move, and now you're wondering if maybe you didn't just imagine it. Where the star is still shining, but the road is dark, and you're not entirely sure you packed enough water. That's where we live. And that, friends, is where tonight's text meets us. Imagine it, no choir, no angels singing now, just camels shifting their weight, leather creaking, sand underfoot. Palace gate closes behind these wise men. Gold still clinks in the saddlebags. Frankincense still smells like prayer, and myrrh still carries that sharp edge of grief, even if they don't know why yet. Behind them, a king who asked questions a little too carefully, smile that didn't reach his eyes, promises that felt like traps that they couldn't quite put their finger on, and ahead of them, nothing but road and sky. And then the light moves, not brighter, not louder, just forward. And that's enough. That has to be enough, because when God moves, you have two choices. You can stay safe where you are, or you can follow into what you can't yet see. Magi, they choose the road. And roads, friends, they always ask something of you. My dearest, attune your ears, not your words. To the account according to the evangelist Matthew, second chapter, beginning with verse 7. And Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he said to them, "To Bethlehem, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay homage." When they heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen in its rising, till it had stopped over a place where the child was. And when they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening the treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Thus ends the reading of the word. Matthew tells us that Herod called the wise men secretly, not publicly, not with the scribes present, not with witnesses. Matthew says, secretly. That word, seems like, should make our skin crawl. Because when power operates in secret, it's usually because it's up to something you can't say out loud. Herod wants information, the exact time that star appeared. Not approximately, not a while back, exactly. Because Herod is already doing the math in his head. He's calculating age, calculating threat, calculating how many baby boys he'll need to kill to make sure he gets the right one. And the Magi don't know any of this yet. They're still operating in good faith. They're still thinking this king is curious. They're still believing that power wants to worship right alongside them. So when Herod says, go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage, they believed him. Why wouldn't they? And here's where the text gets uncomfortable for those of us who like to think we can see evil coming a mile away. Magi are wise. They read the stars. They know the texts. They've traveled hundreds of miles based on celestial signs. But they don't see the lie standing right in front of them. Not yet. Because deception dressed in religious language is often the hardest kind to spot. When they heard the king, they set out. No hesitation is recorded, no second guessing, no stopping to counsel each other about whether, does this feel right, guys? No, they just go. And here's the mercy hiding in the sentence. There ahead of them went the star they had seen in its rising. Star doesn't wait for them to figure out Herod. Star doesn't pause long enough until they have perceived and processed danger. The star just goes ahead of them. And that phrase matters more than we usually let it, because it means God's guidance doesn't depend on our full understanding. The light keeps moving even when we are half fooled. The light keeps moving even when we're making decisions we will later realize we're much riskier than we thought. God doesn't wait around for us to be perfectly discerning before he leads us towards Jesus. He just leads. And that should give us some kind of hope tonight. Let me ask you something quietly. Have you ever done the right thing with incomplete information? Not because you were reckless, not because you didn't think it through, because something in you just knew it was time to move. I mean, you didn't have it all figured out, but you just knew the right thing to do here is to move. Maybe you left a job before you had the next one lined up, but you knew staying was killing something inside you. Maybe you had a conversation you've been avoiding for years and you still don't know if you said it right, but you knew the silence was just costing you too much. Maybe you forgave someone even though they never apologized, because carrying that weight was breaking your back. That's not foolishness, friends. That's faith. And that's where the Magi are. They don't know Herod's lying. They don't know that Bethlehem will soon echo with the sound of Rachel weeping for her children. They don't know. A dream is coming that will reroute their entire journey back home. And here's the part that makes this even more complicated. Magi, they're not heroes in the story. They're honest. Honest enough to move when the light moves, but not discerning enough to spot the lie standing right in front of them, wearing a crown. They're about to walk out of that throne room carrying exactly the information Herod needed to calculate mass murder. They are cooperating with power's agenda even without meaning to. That's not stupidity. That's just what it looks like when finite people try to navigate a world where evil knows very well how to smile. And here is the mercy hidden in verse 12. And we need to name this out loud. God doesn't abandon them halfway through their obedience. God sends a dream. God interrupts. God says, don't go back that way. Because sometimes the only thing that saves us is that God course corrects us before our faithfulness can turn into complicity. All they know right now is the light moved. So they did. And here's the truth I keep coming back to. Sometimes obedience feels like stumbling forward in the half dark. Sometimes following Jesus means you're learning the dangers as you walk, not before. Sometimes you do the right things for reasons you don't fully understand, and then God still has to reroute you mid-journey. And that's not failure, that's faith operating the way faith actually works in a broken world. God seems far more interested, in my opinion, in forming people who trust the next step than people who demand the whole map. But, and I think this matters, partial light doesn't mean blind obedience. It doesn't mean you surrender your brain, right, to anyone who claims to speak for God. It means you stay open to course correction from Scripture, from community, from the Spirit who warns you in dreams when you are about to walk back into danger. Magi needed that dream because their discernment wasn't sharp enough on the front end, and God gave it to them. That's not condemnation, that's protection. And let me put these three groups side by side by side. Herod, the scribes, Magi. Herod has power. He knows how to manipulate religious language. He knows how to sound sincere while plotting murder so that I may go and pay him homage. That's not ignorance on his part. That's just performance. The scribes, we talked about this on Sunday, they had the scripture. They quote Micah 5 and 2 without hesitation. In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. Perfect recall, perfect theology, perfect indifference. But neither Herod nor the scribes move. They know, they analyze, they calculate the risk, and they decide to stay comfortable. Magi, on the other hand, didn't have what Israel had. They don't have Torah. They don't have covenant history. They don't have the prophets memorized, but they have movement. And here is an uncomfortable truth, I think, that hides like a rock in our boot. Knowledge without movement can look faithful and still miss Jesus completely. Meanwhile, movement without knowledge can feel dangerous and still lead to him. And that should slow us down. Because churches are usually built for scribes. We reward people who can quote chapter and verse. We give leadership to people who know doctrine. We trust people who sound certain. But the gospel keeps finding magi. It keeps finding people who don't have all of the answers, but are willing to follow the light they've been given. It keeps finding people who'd rather walk towards mystery than stay safe in certainty. And if we're honest, man, that makes a lot of us feel uncomfortable. Because we like to believe that knowing about God is the same thing as following him. But the text doesn't let us off that easy. Scribes knew where the Messiah was to be born. They just didn't care enough to go find out if it was true. Knowledge became insulation against encounter. And in all fairness, before we get too judgmental about these ancient religious leaders, we should ask ourselves, how many times have we used theological certainty, all right? Two big words put together. How long have we used what we think the Bible says or means. How about that? As a way to maybe avoid risky work following Jesus into places that scare us. How many times have we quoted Scripture instead of just simply obeying it? How many times have we been busy so being right that we missed being present? Magi, they didn't have any of the luxury of avoidance. They're foreigners. They're outsiders. They're working with incomplete revelation. So all that they can really do is follow. And somehow, that's exactly what God ends up offering. And here's what's crazy. Remember how I talked about book from one end to the other? This isn't a one-off moment. This is how God has always worked. Abraham doesn't get a destination. Genesis 12 and 1. He gets a call to leave. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you. Notice what's missing. The address. God says, leave everything you know and go to a place I'll show you when you get there. That's not a GPS route. That's faith operating on partial light. And that's always been enough for the people who God calls. The psalmist understood this. He doesn't say God's word is a spotlight illuminating the future. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. A lamp shows you the next step. Maybe two? Not the whole road. Not even the next mile. Just enough light to keep you from stumbling into the ditch. And if that feels frustrating, welcome to the way God forms trust. Because here is what I've learned after 53 years of walking with Jesus and 12 years trying to pastor people through the exact same journey. God is far more interested in forming trust than satisfying curiosity. He is far, far more interested in building people who can walk into the dark and people who need all the lights on before they can move. And that's not cruelty, that's formation. Because if we only moved when everything was bright and clear, we'd never move at all. We'd stand still forever, waiting for certainty that's never coming. Meanwhile, Jesus walks ahead of us. Simply trusting will follow. And the Magi, they don't yet know they'll need another home. They don't yet know the dreams will interrupt their sleep with divine warnings. They don't yet know that worship will turn into resistance. They don't yet know that going back the way they came would mean becoming accomplices to murder. All they know right now is the light has stopped. But before we get to the joy, and that's really more of a Sunday topic, I want to talk about the dream, because verse 12 is doing something here we cannot skip past. Having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country for another road. That dream is God's intervention. It's God saying your obedience was good, your movement towards me was right. But you are about to walk back into danger because you didn't see the lie clearly enough the first time. So I'm giving you another road. Again, that's protection. Because God doesn't just honor movement in us. He protects it. Even when we're halfway fooled. Even when our discernment isn't sharp enough. Even when we are one bad decision away from becoming accomplices to murder without even meaning to be. This dream is proof that God finishes what we start in faith. Partial light becomes divine course correction, and it equals safe passage home. And maybe that's the real mercy we need to name tonight. Because some of us might be sitting here thinking, I made the right move, but I almost walked into something terrible. I trusted the wrong person. I believed a lie dressed up in religious language. I cooperated with something I didn't fully understand, and it could have destroyed me. God is saying the same thing to you tonight that he said to the Magi in that dream. I've got another road for you. You don't have to go back the way you came. Now, the joy quickly, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. Not mild satisfaction, not, well, that's nice, overwhelmed. The Greek phrase there, I'm not doing it. I looked this up because of the word exceedingly and joy. They rejoice with exceedingly great joy. That just kind of, I want to see what do those words really mean? It's joy that knocks you sideways, like off your balance. Joy that makes grown men weep. Joy that feels like every hard mile is worth it. Because the journey led exactly where it was supposed to be. Not to a palace, to a house. Not to a throne, but a child. Not to power, to vulnerability wrapped in flesh. And that's where they kneel. And I'll stop there, because Sunday we're going to talk more about those gifts. But here's the question for tonight. Where has the light moved, but you haven't yet? Not because you're stubborn, not because you don't love God, but because you feel like you need the whole picture first. I don't know. Well, let me name some actual ground. Because abstract questions are easy to nod to and never actually answer. Maybe it's that conversation across the political divide you've been avoiding because it's easier to stay angry than risk reconciliation. Maybe it's economic solidarity with people in the margins, the kind that cost you something, not the kind you can afford. Maybe it's forgiving someone who does not deserve it because you're tired of carrying the weight and you know bitterness is killing something inside of you. Maybe it's a calling you felt for years, but you've been waiting for the time to be perfect. Maybe it's a step of obedience feels risky. And you keep telling yourself you'll move when you have just a little more clarity. But what if clarity doesn't come before obedience? What if clarity comes through obedience? What if the next step is the only light you're going to get right now? And that has to be enough. Because, friends, the gospel keeps whispering the same truth. God does not abandon people halfway through obedience. The star doesn't vanish mid-journey. It keeps going. The light moved and they trusted again. And when it stopped, joy was waiting. Not because the road was easy, but because the road led home. Friends, may you trust the lamp in your hand more than the darkness ahead. May you walk even when the road feels unfinished. May you discover that God is already waiting further down the path, and the light you thought was too small to follow was exactly enough to get you there. And when the light moves, may you have the courage to move with it, even if you don't know where it's going, even if the road feels dangerous, even if all you have is just that next step, because Jesus is worth the risk of the journey. And the star never lies. Amen? Amen. Thanks, guys.
Sometimes the road is darker than we expected. Sometimes the star moves before we're ready. The good news is this. God never asks us to follow light that isn't already leading. The Magi didn't know everything. They made mistakes, but they moved, and God met them. Not just with a child in a house, but protection for the journey home. So wherever you are on the road tonight, if you're still discerning, still stumbling, still wondering if you heard right. Take heart. Star didn't wait, and neither did God. Grace goes ahead of you. If this message met you tonight, consider tossing your like in the offering plate. Share this with someone else who might be walking in the half dark and needs to know they're not alone. And if you'd like to journey with us into the new year, every time we gather, every time we open the Word, all you have to do is tithe your subscribe. That way you'll hear the bells when they ring. Till then, keep walking, keep watching, and may you always have just enough light to take that next step. Until then, be blessed.